So, interesting thing is those who can manage pain better, you know, those who are less sensitive. Sensitive meaning they don't react to pain easily. Those people seem to have a thicker cerebral cortex. The frontal lobe is part of the cerebral cortex. You know? Isn't that interesting that people who are less susceptible to pain have a thicker cerebral cortex, and people who meditate also have a thicker cerebral cortex? You know? But I'm not just taking a leap of faith here and saying that means we meditators can handle pain better. You know, I'm not saying that directly, but I'm saying that there is some correlation there. You know, that we are in effect cultivating, culturing our brain to handle pain, you know, better, because we're thickening our cerebral cortex. And there have been studies done on this issue. There is a university in North Carolina, Bob Coghill, I don't know if you heard the name, but what he did was he had 17 volunteers, some who practiced meditation, some who did not, and then he inflicted pain on their calf muscles and then observed how they reacted to the pain, and lo and behold, every single meditator was able to handle pain to a much larger degree. Meaning their pain envelope was like this compared to the non-meditators. I think that's a profound finding. Another study where they took the fMRIs of all the meditators who were irritated by some very irritating sound, you know, like a baby crying, or something that is agitating and irritating. And also the same test was done on non-meditators. They were induced with some agitation. And then as they were induced with agitation, the MRI scanning was done. And again, there was very little reaction to that pain or agitation in the meditators. Yeah. Repeatedly, their frontal lobe would light up compared to the other people, where it would be the amygdala or the thalamus, and, you know. And apparently what meditation does is it makes your active sympathetic nervous system subordinate to your relaxed parasympathetic nervous system. So somehow we are moving from the sympathetic nervous system to the parasympathetic nervous system, which makes a lot of difference in how we react to pain and agitation and so on and so forth. So, well, through all these studies and through this discussion, you might have come to a thought that is Sam saying that pain, like in that experiment where the pain was induced in the calf muscles, right? But all the activity is showing up here in the brain, right? So the question is pain in the calf, in the body, or is it in the brain? You know? And the medical research is saying, and based on what we just talked about, is pain is in the brain. At least the scientific community is now saying the pain is in the breath, which is a big step for all of us.
What is pain? Pain is defined as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or described in terms of such damage. The following video will help us explain why I believe that at the end of the day, all pain is in the brain. Let's look at a representation of pain pathways. Stimulation of pain pathways typically begins with the stimulus of a nociceptor, which is a special pain-sensing nerve. That stimulus is propagated along the course of a peripheral nerve toward the spinal cord, but it's not pain yet. Eventually, that signal will reach the spinal cord, where it will be passed from the first order or primary neuron to the second order neuron. Again, it's still not pain. Here we see an example of that signal being transmitted from one nerve to another. Now, this is an important area because this is one of the areas where some of our medications have an effect on pain and how pain is being perceived and transmitted. Eventually, the pain signal will ascend within the spinal cord and reach parts of the brain, first the thalamus, and then out to the cortex. Now, this is where things get very interesting because it's not until that signal reaches the cortex and other areas of the brain where it's interpreted in some emotional context, only then is it experienced as pain. Again, that's why I truly believe that all pain is in the brain.
Is it really in the brain, though? Well, at least the scientific community has taken a giant step from body to brain, you know? But as meditators, we have a long way to go, you know? And through consistent practice of piercing through that sensation, localized sensation, around it, inside it, in and out, through and throughout, completely disintegrating, dissecting it, sooner or later, we as meditators are going to experientially understand that pain is also not in the brain, but in the mind. And then the scientific community will catch up. Not that they are behind us, but they have their own perspective where they need evidence, right? They need objective evidence. So they are not going to say today that pain is in the mind because it's a subjective evidence. It comes out of cognition which arises through deep contemplation and meditation. But boy, the day you realize that pain is in the mind, you'll be liberated from the body, and so with physical pain. You really will, to a very large degree. And it's important for us meditators because now we are going to learn to sit longer and longer, which means we are going to have to face some physical pain, All of us have to go through that threshold where we transcend physical pain. We will have to. There's no way sitting for 2 hours without having, intense pain in your back in the beginning or in your knees, But the more you practice to swim through the feelings, the unpleasantness, the more you practice to simply observe it, disintegrate it, dissect it, the more you will be able to refine it. It's called refinement of pain. And that refinement will eventually lead to transcendence of pain. We cannot make our body pain-free, but we can make it pain-transcendent. And through experience, we can understand that, But pain is an important issue for all practitioners because we're going to have to deal with it so we can sit longer. And fortunately, there are some studies that are coming up which are indicating that pain is indeed not even in the brain, but in the mind. Brain is just a filter, a modulator, a demodulator, just an instrument. But the real thing is really happening in the mind, you know. There was a study done at Stanford University. This lady who is a horse rider, she fell off the horse and then developed this intense pain. And somehow she figured out how to deal with that intense pain. She would actually, through her mind, change the degree of her pain. Literally move the pain from very little to very high just by using her mind. And this study is popular in Stanford University because they actually have the fMRI scans of this lady who, as she used her mind to change the degree of pain, the scans showed that, the neurological correlates actually showed that she was indeed using the mind to change the pain, you know. So essentially for her, the pain was a mental phenomenon, essentially, quote unquote. So, but it's hard, you know, it's hard to really have that shift in our awareness that that pain is in the body to pain is in the mind. So it's a very tough, very difficult thing, and unless we learn to equanimously observe the unpleasant feelings that arise in the embodiment, we won't get to that level, you know. But I mean, anybody today was able to feel that pain is not in the body but in the mind? It's hard, right? It's like you did. Okay, wonderful. That's wonderful. I mean, you feel this fire here, right? There's this fire in your lower back. I mean, it's so like, it's like, it's right there, you can feel it there. It's like localized and it's intense. And then Sam is saying it's not there, you know? Things are not what they appear to be, really. Yeah. Earth appears to be flat. Is it really flat? Sun appears to go around the Earth. Appears to. It's exactly opposite. It's the Earth that goes around the Sun. Yeah. This appears to fall because of what? Gravity? Because the Earth is pulling this thing down? Wrong. It's falling because the space is actually pushing it down. No. Right? It's the fact of quantum physics that it's the space that pushes the thing down and not the Earth pulling the thing down. It's an established fact of science. And I was pleasantly, I used to feel that intuitively, you know, through my dragon breathing practice and yogic practice. But actually, I feel, you know, I feel that pressure from the space intuitively. And so I was having discussion with my kids and I told them, you know, it's really not the Earth that is pulling you down, it's the space. And so, yes, we know that. Our teacher told us that. And I was like, wow! Great, you know.
Well, what about all those Newtonian formulas?
No, I explained. This goes near the object.
Right. Mm-hmm. General theory of relativity. So now it's becoming common knowledge. In few years, nobody will say the Earth is pulling the objects down, or Earth is keeping you stuck to Earth, but it's really the space. The point is, things are not what they appear to be. the pain here appears to be there. I mean, it's just like, you can't argue about it, you know. But guess what?
I think one thing that gives you hope that you may be able to transcend the pain is the typical itch you get, for example, when you're meditating. An itch, as bothersome as it is, many times, many people will be able to verify this experientially, if you just accept the itch and continue through the meditation, before you know it, many times it will just disappear.
Great. It's interesting that you mentioned itch, because I have used that so many times as my object of meditation. You know, you feel, especially I feel an itch here for some reason. I'm going to go and show it to the doctor. Right here, you know. So I just use that and just observe it, knowing that no itch lasts forever. You know? Having that understanding that everything is impermanent. And just observing that itch, and guess what? It dissolves and disappears sooner or later. So it is with pain, really, you know, because it is in the mind. The cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, precisely uses this concept that pain is in the mind. Doesn't mean you don't do anything to your wound. You know, it's this physical thing there. You have to heal that, but the feeling of it, the perception of it, the degree of it, the experience of it, is all in the mind. So that's why CBT is precisely, but it will become mainstream sooner or later. You know? So is pain in the mind?
Well, I've given healings to people who said they had headache. I remove the head, give them a healing, do whatever I do, and then afterwards it's gone. So what does that say? That would say it's in your consciousness.
Pain is in, ultimately, is in consciousness. So just like we are doing this journey from body to brain, brain to mind, mind to consciousness. When we experientially realize that, and there are meditations to realize that, that pain or any other physical or physiological or psychological emotion, it may be sorrow and grief, that is emotional pain, or physical pain, is ultimately in the state of consciousness. When we experientially understand that, then we are not only freed from the body, but also the mind. Now you can imagine what kind of freedom that must be.
Enlightenment?
Sorry?
Enlightenment?
Right, yeah, we are gearing up towards that, but you cannot imagine what kind of freedom you will experience when you transcend body and mind. Body,
mean,
brain and mind.
Does that mean you need to deal with that? You have to shift your consciousness?
Or? State of consciousness. And we'll talk about that. Consciousness functions in the fixed order of cognition. And we are going to look at that fixed order on how consciousness actually functions from mind moment to mind moment, and how it all trickles down to mind, to brain, to body, you know. So essentially, everything is happening in consciousness. Great. Well, thank you.